On today's episode, we'll continue our top 10 series. We'll go position by position over the next week now to reveal our top 10 players at each spot. You may hear a few surprises along the way. Today, we'll review our top 10 third basemen. That's today on Fastball Fantasy Baseball. This is Fastball Fantasy Baseball with Taylor Tarter and Matt Kirk. Let's get into it.
Always remember, if you ain't first, you're last.
So before I get into my top five third basemen, I just want to say, you know, we're going to run out of time to get to outfielders and starting pitchers. We've talked a bit about kind of all players during the offseason. But if you follow us on Twitter at FastballPod, over this weekend, we'll be putting out a list of our top 30 outfielders and our top 25 starting pitchers. So you can kind of get an idea that way. And then we'll do next week, we'll cover our top 10 shortstops. And we're going to spend some time on preseason injuries that are going to lead into the beginning of the season. So it's just me today, so I'm going to go through my top 10 third baseman here, and I'll start with my top five. So number one is Jose Ramirez. Number two is Bobby Witt Jr. Number three, Manny Machado. Number four, Rafael Devers. And number five is Austin Riley. So hopefully you've been paying attention during the offseason when we and, you know, other people have been talking and tweeting about how shallow third base is. So when it comes to like strategizing how to draft the position, really in, I'd say, a 12 team league or higher, bigger, you need to get a third baseman in the top two rounds, or you're going to be like picking from the scrap heap. In a 10-team league or smaller, you're probably looking at being able to get a top third baseman through round like three or so. But really, that's sort of the cutoff of these top, you know, elite third basemen. So Jose Ramirez, for me, is number one. And I know in the offseason here, spring training, he's been not really hitting for power. He had some injury issues, and that seems to be impacting him a bit. But even still, I'm not that worried. You know, maybe he takes a little time to adjust. Maybe he's taking it easy during spring training because it doesn't really matter. But he went 30-30 in 2018 and nearly did it again in 2021. He's one of very few people with a legit chance of going 30-30 pretty much every year. Amazingly, he's done this with a 6.1% barrel rate and a 35% hard hit rate for his career. So the fact that he can put 30 homers, 30 balls over the fence a year, that's a little surprising, but he's done it so much that, you know, you just kind of, you got to roll with it. So, one thing that I really, really like about Jose Ramirez is that he has played at least 150 games in all but one season since 2016. That's excluding 2020. And what that says to me is, you know, he's healthy regularly. He has the opportunity, right? And opportunity is king in fantasy. His ceiling for projected home runs and Fangraphs between all the different projection systems is 31, and his projected stolen base ceiling is 30. So in a way, he's projected to go 30-30 already. But the caveat here is he's only reached 30 steals once in six seasons when he's had over 500 plate appearances. And in those seasons, he's reached at least 29 home runs four times, which to me makes it more likely he's going to get to the 30 homers than the 30 steals. But, you know, very few players can do what he does, which is why he's my number one third baseman, and which is why he's a first rounder and probably should be a top 5 or 10 pick. And then for number two, I have Bobby Witt Jr. And I like to tier my rankings. So like I try to organize them in groups. And Bobby Witt, I put in the same tier as Jose Ramirez, in that top tier of third baseman. He's projected to go 20-30. He had 33 home runs between two minor league levels in 2021. So he's got the power. He's got the power in the bat, the potential to do that in the pros. It's just a matter of actually, you know, going out and doing it. And one thing that I like is that his fly ball rate last season was 46.4%. The bad thing for him was his home run to fly ball rate was just right above 9%. And he averaged almost 20% for his home run to fly ball rate between AA and AAA in 2021. So you're looking at a guy who averaged about 20% of his fly balls that turned into home runs in the minors. But when he got to the majors, he had 46, almost half of the balls that he hit were fly balls, and less than 10% of them turned into home runs. So you got to figure that's a little bit of bad luck. And so he hit 20 homers last season. You got to figure that could go up a bit. I wrote an article for Pitcher List about 8 players who could go 30-30, and he's one of them. But, you know, a lot of things would have to break right. He has an 8.7% barrel rate and a 38.6% hard hit rate last year, which were just a bit above league average. Looking at a guy like Jose Ramirez, he did it. He hit 30 home runs with worse batted ball data. So Bobby Witt, I have as my number 8 overall ranked player. So if I get Ramirez or Witt, if Judge, Acuna, Turner are gone, these guys are in play for me. Manny Machado is my number 3 third baseman, and he starts a new tier for me. So he is more second round, 12 team, 15 team league. He's probably going at the turn. If you are, in a 10 team league or lower, you could probably get him in the middle or at the end of the second round. But he starts this new tier, the second tier of third baseman for me. If I end up with him, I'm happy. He has 150 plus games in all but 3 of his seasons since 2012. And, 2020 is one of those exempted years, but he played every game in 2020. So he, like Jose Ramirez, he is relatively healthy every year and consistently in the lineup. And that is great for fantasy. In 8 seasons of 150 plus games, he's hit 30 home runs in 6 of them. He's had 100 plus runs in 3 of those 8 seasons. He's had 90 plus RBI in 5 of them. And he's had double digit stolen bases in 3 of them and over a .280 batting average in 6 of them. So what that tells me is he's super consistent, which is exactly what I want when I'm drafting a guy in, the second round of my, in the top 20 to 30 players overall. He did have a high BABIP last season, so that should regress some, and his average probably comes down more to that like 270, 280 range where he sat for his career. He has really good hard contact data for his career, and last season he had just under a 10% barrel rate and a 49% hard hit rate, which are really good. He did see some minor regression in discipline last year, but his BABIP buoyed him. But again, likely that's probably not going to happen this year. So if he struggles with his discipline and the BABIP comes down, his average is probably going to dip a bit. But he has home run, stolen base, and an average combo that the next couple of guys don't have, which is why he's my number three. For Devers, who's my number four, he's probably going to be the last of the third basemen that go in the first two rounds of a 10-team draft or bigger. He has a great floor in terms of power. If he plays 150-plus games, which he's done twice in five non-2020 seasons, you're looking at a 30-plus home run hitter. He crushes the ball, 11.5% barrel rate, just under a 51% hard hit rate last season, which was tied with Matt Olson for sixth in baseball last year. He also puts the ball in the air a lot, 50%+ of the time, between line drives and fly balls. He had 27 homers in 141 games last season, but his home run to fly ball rate was 2% lower than his career average. That comes up a little bit. Maybe we're looking at a 30 home run season. Also, if he played in a few more games, you'd probably be looking at another 30 home run season. He did have a super high chase rate last year at 40%, and he is a 38% chaser for his career with a 70% contact rate, which is crazy, but he's super aggressive. He's top 10 in swing. He was top 10 in swing percent last year, which somehow all of this with the chase rate and everything, he had just the 18% strikeout rate last year. So he's swinging at a lot, but he's making contact with a lot. And he had a .295 average in 2020, but this is where the regression comes in. He had a .282 expected batting average, and that's probably where he ends up in 2023, but it could also come with a 30-100-100 season as well. Then my number five third baseman is Austin Riley, who's been getting better every year. From 2021 to 2022, he improved his walk rate, strikeout rate, barrel rate, hard hit rate, chase rate, and contact rate. So he's getting better disciplined, and he's hitting the ball harder every year. He had a ridiculous 15.7% barrel rate, which was fifth among all qualified batters last season. He was also fifth overall in hard hit rate at 50.8%. That all resulted in a 38 home run season. And honestly, you're looking at a potential 40 home run hitter year over year. There's not that many people who can do that, and he's one of them, and that's really valuable. Now, he hit 300 in 2021, but his BABIP was 363, and that normalized last season and resulted in a 273 batting average. And his expected batting average kind of reflected that's the right thing. He had a 271 XBA. And so to me, a 270-ish, 270, 275, something around there seems reasonable. And that's kind of, if I was drafting him, that's what I would be drafting him for. I wouldn't be drafting him for a 300 average. He should get a ton of RBI in Atlanta with, Albies is back and Acuna's totally healthy. So he's going to have some really good players hitting in front of him. And honestly, I would probably say he's interchangeable with Devers here. I'm not going to argue with you if you put Riley ahead of Devers in your rankings. To me, it's just, what do you want? Do you want 10 more home runs? Then you pick Riley. Do you want 10 more points in batting average? Then you pick Devers. So I'm going to take a quick break before getting into my top, into my 6 through 10 third baseman. I'll do that right after a word from our sponsor. Okay, let's get into my 6 through 10 third baseman. So number 6 for me is Nolan Arenado. Number 7 is Alex Bregman. Number 8 is Gunnar Henderson. Number 9 is Matt Chapman. And number 10 is Max Muncy. And so Nolan Arenado kind of continues this second tier of third baseman for me. He's kind of the last one I'm like happy I have. Like, I'm not feeling like I need to go out and like I gotta get a guy with power to compensate for the, you know, not having a ton of home runs for my third baseman, or I gotta get a guy with average, or I gotta get, you know, I don't have to worry about that too much. If I get Arenado or any of the previous guys here. But after Arenado, it starts to like thin out a little bit. So Nolan Arenado, he is the last of the major home run threats at third base that will also get you other, you know, decent other counting stats in runs, RBI, and average. He had over 40 homers in 3 seasons out of 8 in Colorado. But he's probably never doing it again unless he goes back to Colorado. So I kind of like put that out of my mind. Like, I don't picture him as a 40 home run hitter anymore or a 300 hitter anymore after moving out of Colorado. He's another guy that's super reliable. He has 140 plus games played in all but 3 seasons. And one of those 3 seasons was 2020. His last 2 years in St. Louis, I think we're seeing kind of the hitter that he is. So he has had 30 homers and 100 plus RBI in each of the last 2 seasons. He had a really low BABIP in 2021. Like, it swung from, you know, crazy high in Colorado to way, way low in St. Louis that first year, which drove his average down to 250. But then he saw some positive regression in 2022 and his average climbed to 295. And so as like fantasy managers, as you know, we're scouting for our drafts, we kind of got to recalibrate our BABIP expectations for him outside of Colorado. And I think it's kind of hard to say because he swung so low in 2021 and then it, you know, went back up in 2022. I think we got to kind of take a best guess that he'll fall somewhere in between that 250 and 295 in St. Louis. So the way I'm looking at him is maybe like a 280 hitter with a high 20 to low 30 home run range. So that's kind of what I'm looking at as far as Arenado. You also have to recalibrate his home run to fly ball rates because the ball doesn't carry the way it did in Colorado. And, you know, he had home run to fly ball rates of 16, 18, 20, 20%, right? But that is also going to come down. Maybe we're looking at like 10, 11, 12 instead. And he also has barely league average barrel and hard hit rates, but puts the ball in the air a ton. Puts the ball in the air a ton. So that, you know, he benefited from that thin air up in Colorado that, you know, as a guy that doesn't crush the ball still left the park. Now in St. Louis, obviously that's not happening. I put him 6th because in my third base ranks, because basically everybody ahead of him either is more threatening in my mind with home runs or stolen bases or average or all 3. So next I have Alex Bregman, who starts my third tier of third baseman. That includes him, Henderson and Chapman and Muncy, who I'll be going over briefly. And then Suarez, Cabrian Hayes, Jose Miranda, and Alec Baum. And that is my like third tier of third baseman. Those are the last guys that I would draft and be like, okay, I have my starting third baseman. After that, I'm very uncomfortable with what I have. And even at this point, I'm like, you know, I probably need to get this. I probably need to get that. So I I prefer Bregman's floor out of the rest of these players, but you know, again, if I miss out on the third base, if I miss out on a third baseman in the first three rounds, this is probably where I'm going to get them, you know, later, a few rounds later. He is one of six qualified batters from last season with a higher walk rate than strikeout rate, which makes him great in points leagues. So if I'm drafting in points leagues, I probably rank him a bit higher. He had the second highest home run to fly ball rate of his career in 2018 when he had a 30 home run season. And in 2019, he had a 40 homer season, but it was 2019. So that tells me that those seasons are outliers. His barrel rate and hard hit rate were just under league average last season. So I'm not expecting more than 25-ish home runs at this point in his career. But, you know, he's on a great team in Houston. He's got 100 run, 100 RBI potential. And he's one of the best contact hitters in baseball. It's weird to see that his career batting average is 277, but he had two seasons with like really, really low BABIPs that drove his average down. I think he could sit in the 280s consistently for the rest of his career if, you know, things break normally for him. Gunnar Henderson is my eighth third baseman. He's intriguing, but he's having a rough spring. As of recording this, he has a 0.095 batting average with 9 strikeouts and 24 plate appearances, but reports are that he's like pressing really hard. And it's so hard to go on a small sample size of his pro data for last season, but he was a 2020 threat in the minors, and that probably translates to like 20-ish home runs and 10 to 15 stolen bases, which is still valuable. I do think he's getting overdrafted because of the hype train. I think the same thing is happening with like Vinny Pascantino and like Lars Nootbaar. Like these guys are getting way, way hyped up, and it's driving their ADP way high. And so I'm not getting any of them because where I have them ranked, they're not ending up there. His projections have him at a 245 batting average, and that kind of scares me off too. So I, you know, it's funny that I have him ranked as my eighth third baseman, but I kind of would have some of these other guys here over him because of how like the hype is driving up his ADP. I think there's better value with a guy like Matt Chapman, who is my ninth third baseman here. He has great power, plays in an offense that is very good, and those things entice me. He tied Julio Rodriguez for eighth overall in hard hit rate last season at 50.7%, and his 12.9% barrel rate was top 20 overall. He had a fly ball rate of nearly 50% last season, and his home run to fly ball rate was just under his career average. So I think a little bit more luck and you could have been looking at a 30 home run hitter. 229 batting average last year was not great, but his expected batting average was 234, which still isn't great, but you know, seeing that 230 instead of a 220 is a little bit more palatable, and you can work with that a little more. The last 2 years, he had a BABIP in the 270s, and he's got a 290 career BABIP. So, you know, maybe we look at a 230, 240 batting average. But the thing is like a 30-90-90 season isn't out of the question, but you have to be okay with an average in like the 230s. Like that's what you have to expect. So that's a guy where if I'm drafting him, I'm also then going out and looking specifically for players with like higher batting averages. Maybe I grab like a Luis Arias, who I hate, but that's what I might need to do to like balance out my batting average. And then number 10, I have Max Muncy. yeah, he was really, really bad last year. He hit 197 on a 227 BABIP. He was a victim of the shift and really, really bad luck on fly balls. His fly ball rate was 49.5%, but his home run to fly ball rate was 13%, as opposed to a 20% career fly ball rate, which means lots of outs, which means really low BABIP. I expect things to turn around with no shift and some better luck on fly balls. Plus, he's a very hard hitter, 13.5% barrel rate and a 44% hard hit rate last season. Those were almost identical with his career. He walks a bunch, so he's great for points leagues, and he doesn't chase much, 21.2% last season, just a single digit swinging strike rate. You know, he clearly struggled with the shift, so I'm not worried about that going into this season, and he rounds out my top 10 third baseman.